This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
All right, hour number two of the Blitz starts now, live here on Fan Run Radio, AM 1340, FM 105.7. As always, head over to fanrunradio.com. Maybe you're at work. Listen to the live link stream at the top. Put it in the background. I promise you, it is safe for work. And as always, we do have an app. Download that wherever you get your apps in app stores. Take us wherever you may travel. I'm telling you, wherever. To the bathroom. I don't care. Just keep listening to us. And as always, you can follow us on Periscope. See our smiling faces at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter and on the Facebook. Hour number two starts with an opening drive. First down. Well, in first down news, it looks like now the Houston Texans are willing to trade quarterback Deshaun Watson. This comes from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. He still worked for them. But it looks like the Texans are in the process of hearing out offers for Deshaun Watson, likely going to take a lot, but they are now willing to listen. This also comes from Tom Pelissero. Have been for some time to trade offers for star quarterback Deshaun Watson, but the price is high for a player of his caliber and should be likely to take at least three first-round picks and more. So I ask you guys, you willing to give up three first-round picks for Deshaun Watson?
Hell no.
If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have any in this NFL, though.
Yeah, but if you have Deshaun Watson, you might have a quarterback.
Because of his off-the-field?
Yeah, I mean, like, is he worth that? Maybe. But right now, can you take that risk not having the off-the-field issues tied up and concluded? Absolutely not.
This also comes after.
It's absurd that the Texans think that they will be able to get anything close to that when you don't know how his sexual assault allegations will wrap up.
Yeah, and this also comes on the wake of the Texans and a lot of people around the camp thought that he wasn't going to show up to training camp, but he is showing up to training camp to avoid being fined $50,000 a day. So, GP3, what do you think about the Deshaun Watson news and now the Texans willing to let him go for the right offer?
Under these circumstances, it's asking way too much. Throw some feelers out there, I guess. You know, you might get somebody to bite. But, yeah, there's no way. I don't think anybody's given up that much for a player who's under quite a bit of scrutiny right now.
I'm surprised the NFL, like, I don't think the NFL should do anything with him as it relates to his sexual assault allegations, but I'm surprised they haven't, given their history of being proactive with those things and putting on the commissioner's list or suspended leave or whatever else. It's an interesting move that they haven't. I don't know. Maybe they're protecting one of their young star players, but maybe they're not, too. Maybe there's just not enough evidence, which the NFL should all. The NFL in the last, 10 years has just tried to become the police and investigate all the crimes on their own and come up with their own verdicts, and I've never really understood that. I just don't know what team's going to give that up, though.
Yeah, I tend to agree with the both of you. I do think it's kind of odd coming out now, but I don't think that they have as much leverage as you would think or they think simply because of everything that is looming around Deshaun Watson and the off-the-field concerns with the off-the-field sexual allegations that he was involved with over the summer and all those reports that came out from sexual assault to sexual misconduct, et cetera, that still hasn't been worked out. This guy could be in court for quite a long time. So to get three first-round picks, maybe before all this happened, if talking about the end of last year before anybody knew about all the off-the-field stuff, then, yeah, possibly. But I do not think now that that is the same case. All right, second down. And like my friend in the afternoon says, it's a final. That's right, a la Russell Smith. Texas and Oklahoma officially notified the Big 12 today that they will not be renewing their grants of media rights following expiration in 2025. The schools have said in a joint statement, quote, providing notice to the Big 12 at this point is important in the advancement of the expiration of the conference's current media rights agreement, the statement said. The universities intend to honor their existing grant of rights agreement, so they will be honoring that until 2025. However, both universities will continue to monitor the rapidly evolving collegiate athletics landscape as they consider how best to position their athletics programs for the future. So, it's official. All the speculation came out at the end of the last week. Seemed like an announcement would be made in the next week or so is what all the reports we heard. Seems like that is still true. Oklahoma, Texas out of the Big 12 after 2025.
You think it waits that long? You think it gets to there? Or do you think that the Big 12 dissolves before 2025?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it gets to there if the Big 12 puts up a fight, like if they, like you say, that, if they don't dissolve or if they can't bring any more teams in, I guess. Like, it's going to happen. And they want to – I guess they want to do it the right way.
Because I saw Kansas is looking at the Big Ten about moving out there. And
yeah, I mean, there's a lot still to be said. Big 12 – I mean, the Big 12 had a conference call with Texas and Oklahoma too, and is trying their best to convince them with literally whatever they want. That's probably not going to work, but the Big 12 will put up a fight. And then, you know, other power conferences will probably put up a fight to compete for these Big 12 schools. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. It'll be interesting to see if Texas and Oklahoma buy out the rest of their Big 12 contract and come to the SEC by, like, next season.
Yeah. I mean, it could happen very, very quickly. We know these things. If they want them, that's the thing. If they want them to happen quickly, they happen quickly. When the NCAA or – no, said conference wants to draw out something, they draw it out longer than normal, longer than they probably should. But if they want it to happen quickly, it exactly will happen quickly. All right, Charlie, third down.
Third down, Madden 22, right around the corner. Less than a month now. It drops August 20th. So it's getting to the point in time where we start getting Madden ratings dropping. And this morning, we got the top 10 wide receivers in Madden NFL 22. Devontae Adams, the best in the game, 99 overall. DeAndre Hopkins, 98 overall. Tyreek Hill, 98 overall. Then fourth, Stephon Diggs at 97 overall. Fifth, Julio Jones at 95 overall.
Sixth, really? Still putting some respect on Julio's
maybe
name
too
out there
much,
in the
honestly.
Streets.
Yeah. Michael Thomas is sixth at 94. He was a 99 last year. Keenan Allen, seventh at 93. Amari Cooper, eighth at 92. Mike Evans, ninth at 91. And Allen Robinson, 10th at 90. Any snubs stand out to you guys?
I think Julio's a little bit too high, in my opinion. They're still putting a lot of respect on his
name. But as of, like, guys left off the list, I mean.
I just think you owe me an apology for the Amari Cooper slander, because when we were trying to guess the top 10 receivers in the league, and I kept guessing Amari Cooper, and you told me I was dumb for it. Look, he's eighth best according to Madden.
Well, what I was saying is as we kept approaching, like, 5 and 4, I was like, dude, it's just not Amari Cooper. Just try something else.
I mean, I think the last time I guessed him was at, like, 7, but...
I'm surprised to see Amari Cooper that high. Allen Robinson at 10 is a little maybe iffy. Julio
Jones.
I'd
have put A.J. Brown over
Allen
Robinson.
Julio Jones at 5 is a little iffy to me.
I think Julio is a little too high.
I think, yeah. I think A.J. Brown.
And I think D-Hop should have been a 99, not a 98.
I think he should be a 99, too. I think A.J. Brown should be in that top 10, and I think Terry McLaurin should be in that top 10. And Justin Jefferson and D.K. Metcalf have a decent case, too, but... So does Calvin Ridley, even, maybe. But I think Scary Terry and A.J. Brown are both top 10 receivers in my book and should be in there.
Scary Terry. He doesn't get a lot of respect, does he?
It's because he plays for Washington. He is a good receiver. But
Washington is going to be a good football team.
Fitzpatrick.
This year. Washington is going to win the NFC East this year.
Fitzmagic is
their guarantee
starter.
You that much right now. And Terry McLaurin's going to have a lot to
do. What are their future odds to win the NFC East?
I don't know. Let's go put $100 on it.
Do what those those fellas did for the MVP award and just split a futures bet on them, get a big payout.
Let's do it.
All of us put in a grand.
I can't put in the grand, but
let's mortgage our savings on the Washington football team.
Get the hell, I ain't doing that. Hey, but on fourth down, we talked a little bit about it last week, injury woes back for the Saints. Michael Thomas has been reported that he will be out 6 to 12 weeks. I know we said he missed a couple weeks. He is apparently going to be out 6 to 12 weeks at the start of the season. So more bad news for the Saints as they try to usher in a new quarterback, whether that be Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston. But they will be without their star receiver for 6 to 12
weeks. Can get him at 2.5 to 1 odds, guys.
That's not as good as I thought.
Who would think the Saints start at quarterback? I know we said it before.
I think it's going to be Jameis.
I think it's going to be Jameis.
I do too, because do you want to really take away the like dual, I guess, assignments or dual action that is Taysom Hill? Like, you're still able to use Taysom Hill in a lot of gimmick plays and put him out there tight end, put him in there running back a couple times, put him there at quarterback if you need some short yardage or, you know, some kind of gimmicky plays, or put him on the outside at wide receiver, and you can do a lot of things with him. So I don't know why you would want to take away his versatility and
with Taysom, ruin that. You're eliminating his versatility and putting him in his worst spot of everything that he does.
Like, he does a pretty good
job.
He
does a lot of things, but quarterback is his worst.
I agree with you. Hey, that was the opening drive. We'll take a quick timeout on the other side. Let's go ahead and jump into some of the Olympics. We'll talk about Team USA and more. Keep it tuned in here on Fan Run Radio. Blitz rolls along right here on Fan Run Radio. FM 105.7 AM 1340. Chance, Charlie, and GP3 back behind the booth with you. Time to switch gears a little bit. If you missed anything, you can go back and listen to the podcast and recap that wherever you download podcasts. Go ahead and subscribe now on iTunes to all the Fan Run Radio local shows. But it's time to switch over to the Olympics. We got any Olympic music back there? See if we have any.
What even is, like, Olympic music? Like,
do you not know the song? Do I have to play it for you?
Is it the, like,
dun, dun, dun? Like, it's like the NBC. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, the NBC, like. That's Hail to the Chief.
I know, this is Hail to the Chief. I think this is about as close as we can get to it.
Hey!
This is Hail to the Chief.
Yes, I love this song.
But it's like the NBC song when they come in and they play and they get it hype. But without further ado, it is time to switch it over, talk a little Olympics, like I said. The United States is second in the gold medal count, currently trailing Japan 8-7 with 14 overall.
There's some home cooking going on out there.
Some home cooking out there. There's your conspiracy, Charlie. The Japanese knew they were going to – they're trying to take the medal count for us this entire time. But it's been a rough road for the United States sports. Last night, Katie Ledecky lost to the Terminator. Titmus from Australia in the 400-meter, I think it was freestyle. She came in second, got the silver, though, but did lose the gold. And Team USA lost for the first time in basketball in their opening round game in their group stage. Since 2014, when they did not fare well at the Olympics, I think.
Is Pons on that France team?
No. I don't believe so.
No. He did not make that team.
He didn't make the cut. They got a pretty stacked squad. But Team USA loses 83-76. A lot of criticism for Greg Popovich as of late. Seems like he's still running a lot of Spurs plays out there, people saying he doesn't know how to adequately run plays for his own team and really put together the right lineup and rotation for this Team USA squad. You guys think there's anything to fret about Team USA moving forward?
I mean, obviously.
You do?
They've lost 3 out of the last 4 games.
No, they have.
Obviously.
Some people might chalk it up to fatigue from the bubble, from guys who were in the playoffs. They brought over Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, and Devin Booker just 3 days ago, and they did not fare well in that game as well.
They're just getting outplayed. Plain and simple.
They are.
It's poor coaching.
It is poor coaching.
It is a poor system. It is.
What do you mean by system? Like, you talking about Greg Popovich's system or the system like to pick players for
What I mean
for
is,
the games.
I guess it's just poorly constructed. Like, yeah. We are.
They had a lot of guys who didn't want to come play.
The team doesn't really make sense in the way they play with each other or what you can do with their differing skill sets. It's not really been set up well by Popovich. I don't think that there's.
His rotations are pretty bad.
There's not a lot of intricacy to what they're doing either.
Yeah, it's just like they're like just giving it to doing a bunch of ISO and then running a bunch of Spurs plays as people have criticized him for. But, I mean, you got a team of Bam Adebayo, a lot of young stars, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, supposedly the best player in the world and obviously the best player on this team. Jeremy Grant also. Keldon Johnson of the Spurs. I don't get that one. Zach LaVine. Drew Holiday, Draymond Green, Dame Lillard, JaVale McGee. I didn't understand why he was invited. Trey Young was, like, begging.
I mean, you have a coach that refuses to acknowledge his own shortcomings.
Oh, yeah, Pop's been that way for years.
Yeah, nobody on the team is actually – I mean, it's all isolation basketball.
No, that's what they've been doing.
They don't have anyone that creates offense for others. Like, they don't have a true point guard, it feels like.
You know what they miss? Coach K.
But yeah,
there's something to say. Coach K was a damn good Team USA basketball coach.
Well, Evan Fournier, yeah, absolutely. Well, Evan Fournier was the best player on the floor, and that's not good when Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum,
he was awful in the playoffs. He was awful in the playoffs. These guys do play so much harder for their countries. It means a lot for them to play for their country. I don't know how much it means for our guys anymore because we didn't see an Anthony Davis, we didn't see a LeBron James go over there.
Oh,
I don't know why Carmelo wasn't invited. I'm still pissed off about that, honestly, seriously. When they replaced, Bradley Beal, what, JaVale McGee, I don't know why Carmelo didn't get a call. I don't know why Trae Young didn't get a call over Keldon Johnson, over Jeremy Grant, over my guy Zach LaVine. I mean, and LaVine has probably been the best player so far playing for them as far as getting the offense rolling. He's been playing pretty well. Dame Lillard should be playing better. Durant should be better. Maybe you put Chris Middleton out there because he was so hot in the playoffs. Maybe he should be a starter.
Well, I mean, another thing is the rest of the world, I guess, has gotten better at basketball.
They have.
And the biggest thing is while the NBA continues to change their rules and make it easier for the offense, you know, that affects the way that then these guys are able to compete internationally because you're playing under FIBA rules where – there is no foul hunting. You know, you don't get to just go create fouls. I was watching the game, and I was like, man, there was a five-minute stretch where I was just tallying. I was like, man.
Well, here was the roster.
Here's where the NBA refs would have called a foul. Here's where the NBA refs would have called a foul.
Well, yeah, there's not as many fouls called in international play.
Well, yeah,
it's
FIBA rules. Plus, you know, you can get really physical. And team chemistry then gets valued more than individual talent and your ability to play as a team. With those FIBA rules, there's no saving bad defense, basically, with these FIBA rules. And when you play a team like France, who's largely been together for the better part of a decade, if not longer, they're more comfortable with this FIBA style of basketball. When you have Popovich and when you have the shortcomings that you have, combined with the fact that, you know, this brand of basketball favors them and you weren't ready to play it, you get whooped.
Here's the team that won it in 2016. You could say that, yes, they were slightly better. I think they had better. They obviously had better shooters on this squad. Yeah, Jimmy Butler, there's something to say right there. A guy who's a dog, who, you know, is a veteran in this league and can lead some young players and just people want to play up to his level that he always puts out on the court. Yeah, Kevin Durant, you also had Kyle Lowry, Harrison Barnes, DeMar DeRozan, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, DeMarcus Cousins. He was a lot healthier then. Paul George, Draymond Green, and Melo, along with Jordan. Why can I not think of his first name? Center
DeAndre Jordan?
DeAndre Jordan. I don't know why I went blank there for a second. I'm sitting here looking at the guy's picture. DeAndre Jordan was also on that squad. So that was a team that won gold. I still think this is a very talented roster. I hope that was a wake-up call, getting beat by France, and that we don't see them have an early exit. That would be very disappointing for me because one reason why I do like the Olympics, I like to watch Team USA basketball. I am always tuned in to Team USA basketball and how they're going to do.
Did you manage to see what Luka did last night?
48
points.
48.
Did Slovenia win?
Yeah, 118 to 100.
Yeah,
let's go.
48 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 assists.
Luka loves playing for his country as well. He's a beast. He is a beast.
Team USA, man.
Team USA.
Quit embarrassing us. You, like, regardless of Popovich, regardless of FIBA, regardless of what these teams have, at the end of the day, quit embarrassing us. You losing embarrasses our country as a whole. Show some pride for your country. Show some pride for yourself as an individual, as just a competitor that doesn't like to lose. And just use the incredible talent advantage that you have to beat inferior competition. You know, quit messing around, okay? You know what? Maybe Nigeria loss wasn't a wake-up call for you. Maybe the Australia loss wasn't a wake-up call for you. But guess what? You're in group play now. You're at the Olympics. And if you lose one more, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
No, you're out. You go home. 1-2-3 Cancun. In other news, though, the 3-on-3, the women, they're rolling.
Have you watched the 3-on-3?
They're 6-0.
Have you watched any of it?
Yeah.
I was watching some of the men's, and I'm pretty confident that I could get a group of friends that could compete against some of these countries,
too. Here you go again.
Not the good ones, but, like, I was watching, like, some of the bad ones, and I was like, dude, these look like three guys that you see at, like, any average, like, park in a
city. Do you think that, like, you and two of your friends could take on these women and win?
I know for a fact any women's team in the Olympics we would beat in 3-on-3 basketball, and it wouldn't really even be that close.
Any team?
Yeah. Guarantee it, dude. I mean, at the end of the day, the difference is just too much between men and women's basketball.
You and two of your just average Joes.
I mean, I get to pick my two friends, and, like, I'm going to pick, like, college athlete friends.
No, I'm talking about two and your average and you. I think you might be the weakest link out there.
I probably would if I'm picking two college
athletes.
Two
number one
friends.
Overall draft picks.
Yeah, but we would beat them. I mean, and that's nothing against them. What they're doing is great and utmost respect for them, but that's just – that's how it goes. We would beat them. I mean,
I think they'd shoot your lights out.
I mean, like, you look at like Mississippi State or whatever, for example, and if you want to compare men's and women's basketball, like, if you really want to, when Mississippi State was a national championship team, contender, whatever else, Starkville High School would scrimmage them in the preseason and whatever else to give them live reps and consistently beat them by 30 to 40 points each time. Just is one of many, many examples of that. You know, and that's no disrespect because there isn't the expectation that they should be.
I always think they would ISO you and they'd kill you.
No.
They'd put you in the spin cycle and just sit you, keep switching on Charlie. Give me the Charlie switch. Give me that Charlie switch.
Okay, but they're not going to guard. There's no one that's physical enough to guard me in the paint, and then there's no one that's athletic enough to guard my two friends. Mm. Period.
Mm. Who are your two friends that you're calling up to play?
I mean, there are plenty of people that I can call, but, like, I have friends that are pretty dominant athletes.
You said they're former college athletes.
Current college athletes.
Are they pretty good at basketball?
Yeah.
Is that their sport?
No, but.
Come on.
I mean, I can hit up, like, college basketball players. But
come on.
Or I can hit up, like, guys that, you know, were, like, all-state high school basketball players. Like,
I ain't talking about your two, like, 5'11 baseball buddies.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, I can create a dominant 3-on-3 team.
I don't think Charlie could. What do you think, GP3?
I'm not telling you that. Like, I'm not telling you I think I could. Like, I know it's a
fact. He's saying I know I could.
And it's not even, like, something I want to be braggadocious about or proud about because, like, I'm not trying.
You off the court.
I'm not trying to start something and, like, the whole, like, men are better than women or anything.
That's what it sounds like.
I don't want to be like that.
That's
I'm not
what it
proud
sounds
of this.
Like.
I'm not trying to brag about this.
Are
I'm
you
just
a
telling
sexist?
You the God's honest truth.
Now, are you a sexist?
Look, if you take, like, Division II, Division III basketball guys and put them up there, yeah, they probably
beat
them.
If you put Division II basketball guys against our women's U.S. 3-on-3
yeah,
team, or they wouldn't score a point.
If you're taking the average
Joe, they
wouldn't
score a point.
Me or, like, anybody else who doesn't play basketball for a living – then no, I don't think they're beating. I've seen some of the top women play basketball, and, like, yeah, they get run by professionals and men, but there's no way, like, somebody like us is beating them.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm picking, like, two.
Russell and John Reed can't beat that team 3-on-3.
No, we couldn't. But Russell and John Reed aren't my two, like, most athletic friends.
I was like, can you and just some Joes do it? I mean, if you're going to go.
I'm drafting my team of friends, like.
Drafting your team. You made it seem like you could just go out there and win.
Yeah.
I mean, put a lot of respect on their name.
I have the utmost respect
they
for them.
They are
6-0,
Charlie.
Difference
athletically. They are 6-0.
Thank God. I hope they win a gold medal because I love my country and I love that women's team.
A lot of people saying that there's not enough patriotism for the athletes, and that's why that's where the struggle is. You think people don't care about playing for their country anymore?
I think a lot of the basketball guys don't. Yeah, I mean, they don't have the same pride playing as like a Luka does or Rudy Gobert. Or
it's different for those guys.
And then you even saw Damian Lillard come out and say it. He said, these guys play different when they're playing for their country.
He did. He said that yesterday.
I mean, I just don't think the U.S. guys feel the same way anymore.
It's sad. Very, very, very sad to me that there are athletes that don't really have that kind of pride of competing for your country. Just thinking about, like, even, you know, a decade, 15 years ago, how much pride players had to play for their own country. And now they've kind of lost that. But, you know, the other thing, even if you're not having that pride to play for your country, I mean, do you not have pride just playing for yourself? Like, do you not have enough competitive juice just as an individual not wanting to lose for your own name? I don't know. It's just, it's interesting that there are players that don't really have that sense of pride. But the biggest thing with the Olympics, can you guys keep up?
No,
have you guys been able to keep up at all? Well, no, not just that. I can't figure out what's live, what's in the streaming app, what is going to be tape delayed and played later, sports are when, where the medals are, where we're at in the tournaments. I am so lost, and I've been trying to keep up.
I would also
say, can someone help me?
I think NBC has done they do a great job with the Olympics. I don't think that they did a great job marketing and advertising it up and like prior to the Olympics start. And I don't think they're doing a great job of being like, hey, tonight at 8, Team USA basketball, or at 4 o'clock. Like, well, I don't think that they're doing that.
I saw one of the guys from Barstool Sports had like tweeted out a clip from handball or something like that, just saying, oh, this was an incredible play. If you're not watching this, you know, you really need to. I didn't know handball was going on. And then his account like got in trouble because NBC flagged it, saying that they're stealing, you know,
yeah, like, content. I want to watch sports, copyright. And I want to watch them live. And will somebody tell me where to watch them and when?
I don't think anybody's done a great job, whether that's ESPN, NBC, whoever. NBC is obviously the one that's in charge who gets to host the Olympics. But they haven't done a great job of telling us, when these marquee, telling us, hey, big track and field this afternoon or tonight, or big swimming event tonight. I've just flipped it on.
Have we had track and field stuff start yet?
I don't know.
Does anyone know?
I really don't know. Last night was the first time that I caught one of our prominent swimmers in Katie Ledecky.
And that
swimming.
Wasn't live though, was it? Like
I,
it was.
I don't believe so.
I can't keep up. Have either of you guys been on a cruise?
I've been on a cruise before.
You know how each morning on a cruise you get like a little
itinerary yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of like every event that's happening everywhere. I would pay a subscription fee for the Olympics, like $10 for the Olympics, just someone to send to my phone every morning an exact layout of what events are happening in my time zone during that day, when they'll be live, when they'll be delayed, what'll be delayed and streamed and played in prime time, where I can watch them, whatever else. I would pay good money for that because I can't keep up, but I love the Olympics and I want to know how to watch them better.
I agree with you. They haven't done a great job of marketing and letting you know what's going on, what are the big games. Everything. They haven't done it all. 865-546-8200. That's our number if you want to chime in with us. 546-8200 if you want to get on. On the other side, maybe we'll get into a little fact or fiction. We also got to get to some Bradley Beal news that we didn't get to right there. Looks like that might be another NBA star on the move as NBA offseason ramps up. We got some NBA mock drafts out there. Maybe some Vols moved up some more in the rankings. And I got some Liberty football news for you on the other side. This is The Blitz, and this is Fan Run Radio. Once I thought that love was something I could never do. Welcome back to The Blitz. Thank you for tuning in with us. Just a couple more segments here until Talk Sports boys enter the vestibule and get you going from noon until 3. But the Liberty football news that just came across the wire. Well, it looks like that Liberty football has extended their media rights to ESPN until 2025. That's right. You will see lots more of Liberty football and Hugh Freeze on the telly. as they extended their media rights. Big news for Liberty football. And we were talking about during the break, you only do that because you want to see Hugh Freeze. Like, I know that Liberty was pretty damn exciting to watch this past year, but the appeal, and I'll ask you guys one more time for the air, I think the appeal is for Hugh Freeze and this hot octane offense, and people want to see how Hugh Freeze continues to do at Liberty. Can he still upset some schools he shouldn't, some bigger schools than a Liberty football program, and does that propel him into another big job?
I think it's only a matter of time before he's gone. I mean, a lot of people thought he was going to take the Tennessee job this past offseason.
Would have loved him. But no offense to Josh Heupel, but would have loved Hugh Freeze.
I mean, he's from this area. Well, not from. He's from Tennessee and apparently was campaigning for the job. But, no, I think it's only a matter of time. He's too good a coach. He's too big for the sport to be at Liberty. And I think this – I give him 2 more years tops at Liberty before he's gone.
Yes, yeah, so all Liberty's home football games, they reach an extension for the exclusive media rights through the 2025 season. The new agreement ensures that all Liberty home football games will air on an ESPN platform with at least one game each season on a linear network.
I mean, yes, that's not like some big TV deal.
That's pretty big for Liberty football, though.
No, I mean, like, that's not like some, like, big as in, like, they're going to be – I mean, that just means, like, they can be on ESPN.
Yeah,
three.
At least one game, yeah. They'll I just put all up, their home football games, yeah.
I just pulled up Liberty's football schedule. Where they travel to on November 6th?
Where?
Ole Miss.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I was about to get
That'd
into.
That'd be a big one.
Yeah.
That's what I was about to get into. If Hugh Freeze stays a while, there. I mean, it wouldn't be absurd for Liberty to become – more of a respected brand in football. Like, not saying that they're going to be, you know,
a household name?
Not a household name, but I think, you know, in 5 to 10 years, they could at least become, you know, similar to what, like, a BYU is right now.
I think UCF is more of a better comparison than BYU.
I would say BYU more so because they're both independents.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. BYU is more... Aren't they more of like a traditional?
I mean, BYU has that tradition, but I'm just saying, like, how we view BYU now as, you know, a step above the Group of Five, I think, but still a step below the Power Five. I would say, like,
I don't view them really a step below Power Five.
Really? I view them.
I kind of put them on the same level.
Okay. See, I view them as like just barely a step below the Power Five. And I don't know if maybe it's not crazy that Liberty gets to that point. Because they have talent right now on their roster. They have a good coach. But that's an athletic program, and two, that there's a lot of money there, a lot more than you would think, and a lot that's being invested into Liberty Athletics. They're a great baseball school. They've gotten pretty good at basketball and football, and there's been an investment there. And I mean, you look at their schedule, too, and, you know, they're trying to schedule harder games. I mean, they're working on it. They play Troy. All right, not Troy. I mean, Syracuse this year, you know, Ole Miss, Army. And if they can continue to try to increase that strength of schedule, maybe they can continue to build towards, you know, being a more relevant program.
Wonder what that welcome back is going to be like for Ole Miss.
Probably not. I wouldn't think a friendly one.
I don't know, because, like, he did give them the best years.
I guess he did, but at the same time, he, like, kind of tanked him a little bit. I don't know. You're right. I think it will be friendly.
I think it's going to be pretty friendly. Now, I don't think that he's going to get, like, some tribute on the Jumbotron.
I don't think he can do that.
But, like, I think the fans will be very receptive and be very welcoming to Hugh Freeze. I mean, other coaches, they might be like, hey, thank you for the years, coach, and put it up there real quick, but not with them. Something else.
Hold up. Ready?
Is it breaking news?
No, before we get off Liberty.
Okay.
2022, you know, let's talk about their schedule and how they can continue to try to take a step up. Well, they play BYU. They play Arkansas. And they play Virginia Tech and Wake Forest.
And Hugh Freeze coming there getting games on schedule.
Yeah.
He ain't scared of nobody.
They play South Carolina and Virginia in 2023.
Wow.
I mean, they're working on it.
Liberty going to try to move to to one of these Power Fives in the next couple
and honestly
years.
I mean, for them it's pretty hard to schedule.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, if you are a good non-Power Five school, nobody's going to schedule you. It's a lose-lose. Like, I mean, winning doesn't do much, but if losing, you don't want to take the risk of losing to someone when you can just take a free win instead. It doesn't.
You're true there. It's tough to play teams like that.
That's an entirely separate conversation, but that's why I was a proponent of the 12-team playoff, because it's too hard for a group of five schools to get a strength of schedule high enough to earn a way in because the best schools won't play them.
They won't, because if they lose to them, then the laughing stock, they really take a big hit on their rankings and their postseason expectations. But if they win, it's still no big deal for these big schools. Something I want to get to real quick before we have to take our final break. We were talking about the SEC expansion, Oklahoma and Texas. That's been the talk of the town. Over the weekend, though, Jack McGuire of Barstool, at Jack Mac CFB, he said that the SEC has also been in serious contact with, I don't know if you guys saw this, but with Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, and Florida State. Not clear if this will materialize, but they have their eyes on a true 20-team mega conference. Oklahoma and Texas is just the start. Hashtag Scoop City. Ryan Day, he was quoted saying over the weekend, we may wake up in 5 years and not recognize college football. Him on the number of changes in the game. And then also, Graham Coffey, a UGA football writer and analyst, said, text from an SEC source with knowledge of the inner workings of the league office, quote, a couple more dominoes fall and we're in a situation where the SEC would become its own division. More teams have reached out than what's being reported. 20 to 24 within the realm of possibility. Is SEC just trying to, like, have their own, like we're college football outside of college football?
Yeah, winning the SEC is now the equivalent to winning the national championship.
Yeah, like, you just come be in this conference. We'll play all our games against each other, and we'll crown our own damn national champion.
If they're going to do something like that, though, I feel like they would have to do some sort of relegation. Like, you can't keep, like, teams like Vanderbilt. And
Charlie, are you for 24 teams in the SEC?
Do you think?
No, I'm saying, would you be for it?
He wasn't for Texas and Oklahoma joining.
You think happened, like, I would honestly be in a pretty dark place.
I would draw
and that's
the line.
Not even, like, that's not even a joke. Like, I would
dark place.
Like, I would need.
Well, Florida State's been talking about it for years. Ohio State, Michigan, and Clemson. That was a little off to me. But
it would be so upsetting to me that, like,
you would hate.
I would physically cause damage to myself or objects. Like, I would vehemently upset. Like,
good word there. We don't want Charlie to hurt himself, so let's hope it doesn't happen.
Like, I think I would. I don't know. Maybe I just have to, like, go to, like, a gun range and just shoot for, like, 5 to 12 hours straight, or, you know, like, cut down some trees.
You're gonna be in a dark place. We don't know if we want to put you around guns.
I don't know. Just something to blow off steam. I would be so angry.
Would you be for it?
I don't know if
probably
I'd watch
not,
football.
Honestly. Like, I'm okay with Texas and Oklahoma joining, but at that point it just seems a little overkill, and I think that would be the death of college football as we know it.
It would.
Creating a super conference.
Minor league football.
Hey, we'll continue to watch.
Who likes
it?
Minor league baseball, right? Who likes the G League? Are we going to turn college football into minor league football and then it not be fun anymore? Maybe.
Man, it's kind of already minor league football, but that's another story for another day. 865-546-8200. Last call on the other side. Keep it locked here on Fan Run Radio.
Out in the country past the city limit sign, where there's a honky-tonk near the county line. The joint starts jumping every night when the sun goes down. They got whiskey.
Last call here on the Blitz. Great Monday. Talk Sports is in the building. They'll have you covered from noon until 3. 3 until 6 will be the drive. And then 6 until 8 will be overtime to round out the local programming here at Fan Run Radio for the day. Keeping you locked in from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. That's right, your friends at Fan Run Radio. But at this time, like we always do, time to end the show with a little If You Haven't Heard as we get out the door. Charlotte?
You haven't heard. Okay. I think both of us just glitched there for a second. Yeah. If you haven't heard, a British wildlife sanctuary has been forced to separate 5 parrots who wouldn't stop swearing at visitors?
Really? That's pretty funny.
Keepers say that the birds encouraged each other to keep cursing.
Oh, they were.
And had to be
get them.
And had to be moved from the main outdoor aviary.
I can see these birds like, get him! Get him!
Billy, Eric, Tyson, Jade, and Elsie
encouraging each other
are the names of said parrots, which is just also ridiculous.
Get that mother bleep!
They were removed from the view this week, the Associated Press reports. Wow, big enough for the Associated Press to be on this.
What
story.
Would you do if you just like started getting cursed out by a parrot?
I think I
would die laughing.
I'd curse him back out.
I
think.
Would it, I would. I'd curse him back.
Would
out.
It hurt your self-esteem at all if these parrots just picked you out? Like,
they would
not anybody else? Like, you're in a big group and
I'd punch
a roasting you.
I'll punch a parrot. I'd eat a parrot.
You eat one?
Maybe. They recently joined the Lincolnshire Wildlife Center's colony of 200 African gray parrots in August.
Whoa.
And were put in quarantine together and quickly overwhelmed with the staff with their naughty language. Quote,
language.
We're quite used to parrots swearing, but we've never had five at the same time. Let alone
these parrots just like going off on like people together. That is the
let alone
thing.
Ones that encourage each other. The center's chief executive, Steve Nichols, told the AP. Most parrots clam up outside, but for some reason, these five relish in it.
God, I hope there's some video of this.
Like, yes, please, somebody, please.
According
have
to Nichols, none of the zoo's visitors complained about the parents. Most,
they probably all thought
most
it was
of
funny.
Them found it amusing.
Yeah.
Quote, when a parrot tells you to F off, it amuses people very highly, he added. It's brought a big smile to a really
about, like the other parents sitting around. Yeah,
it's brought a big smile
bleep
to
off.
A really hard
yeah.
year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get
still,
him, son.
Keepers thought it would be best to keep them away from children,
well,
not to ruffle any feathers.
These kids.
And they had to be moved to various areas and separated from each other as well. So
oh
they were
God.
Removed and then separated from each
guilty
other.
Guilty by association. That's what's happening with the
parents. Quote, swear to trigger a reaction or a response. So seeing people shocked or laughing only encourages the birds to curse more.
Oh, great story there from you. Hey, if you haven't heard, the wait is over. And my childhood, gripping from this. But reading Rainbow himself, LeVar Burton will begin his stint as Jeopardy guest host tomorrow. A great voice over the years, and I think somebody's going to do really well as the guest host. I hope he actually wins the job. I loved him on Reading Rainbow.
You don't want Aaron Rodgers now that he's probably going to retire?
No, I mean, I thought Rodgers, I mean, if he retires, sure. I thought he was a good host. Like, I definitely think he did a very great job. But I hope LeVar
I want
Burton.
Cat Williams to host Jeopardy.
We can't do that. Can't do that to the
I
people.
I would be so happy.
Hey, but on the way out, National Calendar Days, as Talk Sports gets ready to hop in here and we get ready to hop out. It's National Disability Day. So, Disability Independence Day, excuse me. Also, National All or Nothing Day. It's National Bagel Fest Day. Go out and get yourself a bagel.
I love bagels. Where do you get a bagel around here?
Everywhere. Okay. National Aunt and Uncles Day. Shout out to your aunts and your uncles. And it's National Coffee Milkshake Day. Charlie said his milkshake brings all the girls to the yard. And damn right, it's better than yours.